New Fiction, Somali Sun. Crossbones, by Nuruddin Farah.
Nuruddin Farah went into self-imposed exile from his native Somalia in 1976, during the 22-year dictatorship of Mohamed Siad Barre. He now lives in Cape Town and Minnesota and writes in English. Yet the 10 novels that have earned him recognition as a sophisticated voice in modern fiction and one of Africa's most important writers are all set in Somalia. They combine an intimate dissection of power within the family with a strong dose of skepticism about the machinations of national and global power. In his third and latest trilogy, Past Imperfect, Mr. Farah proves a penetrating interpreter of the chaos that ensued when Siad Barre was ousted by warlords in 1991. In the concluding novel, Crossbones, which has just been published in America, a Somali-American professor named Jible goes back to the capital, Mogadishu. A Dante expert, Jible had first returned to his homeland in the mid-1990s after 20 years abroad, just as the author did, to find rival strongmen jostling in the Italianate city's infernal ruins, a scene that was described in the trilogy's opening volume, Lynx, in 2004. 10 years on, he finds white-robed men with beards and whips imposing order. These Taliban-inspired religionists, as Mr. Farah calls them, had already made an appearance in the second book, Knots, 2007, foisting body tents on women. These female targets include Kambara, an actress and one of the author's many robust heroines, who has returned from exile in Toronto to reclaim her family home from its squatting warlords. In Crossbones, the Union of Islamic Courts has vanquished the CIA-funded warlords, but when Ethiopia, with the help of American drones, invades Somalia to prop up the embattled federal government, the court's Al-Qaeda-affiliated military wing, Shabab, regroups for insurgency. Jible is accompanied by his son-in-law, Malik, a New York journalist. Their story alternates with that of Malik's brother, Al, who is searching in the autonomous coastal region of Puntland for his runaway stepson, Taxleel. The teenager is thought to have left Minnesota with other Somali-American youths, heading for Shabab's jihadist boot camps. The brothers uncover links between Shabab and Somali piracy by talking to would-be suicide bombers, pirate financiers, and a deviously handsome middleman between the hostage-takers and the shipowners. Their findings support the view that pirates began as a community coast guard after illegal foreign fishing boats had exploited Somalia's collapse to plunder its sea resources. As one source says, "We have nothing to eat, no fish to fish. Sharks up the food chain take their cut, leaving local pirates to pilfer crews' watches and mobiles." Mr. Farah reveals the minutiae of survival in a failed modern African state that is awash with SIM cards and AK-47s, where television repairmen are spies, reporters are targeted with roadside bombs, and petty disputes turn lethal in less time than it takes to stub out a cigarette. His interest is in the moral ambiguity of surviving in such conditions and the compromised choices it forces upon people. Kambara's cunning misdirections to a young insurgent result not only in his death, but in that of an innocent old man. "When the country in which they live changes, people change unrecognizably," a reformed militiaman explains. It is to the novelist's credit that he preserves a degree of sympathy for those whom poverty pushes towards piracy, as well as for the teenagers who are brainwashed into jihadism and whose fate, should they refuse to take orders, may entail shackling and torture. The novel debunks the view that the religionists restored order in Somalia. Spoiling for battle with its Christian neighbour, Shabab ignores the trauma of the 1977 Ogaden War with Ethiopia, the subject of Mr. Farah's Maps, 1986. Shabab's militiamen, who are now obstructing aid in Somalia's latest famine, kick the corpse of an Ethiopian soldier in a repetition of the self-dishonouring dance around a dead marine that shocked the world in 1993. There are traces here of the dreams and proverbs that enrich Mr. Farah's fiction. The shoes of a dead man are more useful than he is. But Crossbones leans heavily on research and recent political events. An impassioned urgency in bearing witness makes this illuminating trilogy less poetic and polished than his earlier novels, but no less powerful for that.